Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this 1st of November. Very nice to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. And let me introduce our panel to you. Then we'll get to a reminder of how you can join in on the discussion. We love to have your letters most times. And we would love to hear what you have to say on a couple of issues that we're going to be talking about this morning. Much still to do with the fallout from Friday's announcement from FBI Director James Comey of relooking at the emails of Hillary Clinton. We'll talk about that much more in just a moment. Before we do, let me introduce the panel. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir. There's your microphone.
Good,
hello, sir.
Oh, I had it before you said that. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
You can just call me Scared Alan.
Why are you scared?
Well, you know, I watched that Brexit vote, and I watched it was 3 points that they were going to stay in, and instead they lost by several points. And that's because a lot of the people who, in my opinion, that's because a lot of the people don't tell certain things to their pollsters, like they were getting out of there. And now when I see the New York Times lineup, and it says, of all the national polls, 1 point, 2 points, 1 point, 2 points, it scares me.
Rosemary Mayo joins us. She is director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. Are you scared?
I'm trying not to think about it.
Okay. Well, excellent. I'm glad you're with us
Always a good way to do it.
I'm glad you're avoiding it
Ostrich.
During the time where we're doing
head in sand, yeah.
Hopefully it won't keep you from commenting this morning. And Mike,
you want me not to comment?
I said hopefully it will not keep you.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Not, in other words.
Mike Spain is with us, associate editor of the Times Union. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us. Thank you.
Are you scared?
Am I scared? Scared of what? Halloween is over. What else would there be to be scared of? Yeah. Now, you know, they call it the Wilder effect. We talked about it before in the show.
Yeah.
When the governor was running in Virginia about 20 years ago, he was African-American and he was way ahead in the polls by 25%. He did win, but only by 2 or 3. People are not always honest when they talk to pollsters.
Yep.
There is an argument to be made that is being made in circles that say that we did not see that, though, during the primaries. That the primaries, for the most part, in polling those who were going to vote for Donald Trump, indicated fairly accurately.
Yeah, the polls were accurate, yeah.
Well, that's one good piece of news. On the other hand, you have to remember what the N was. Who were they looking to? They were looking to Republican voters,
right,
in that particular case. Now you're looking at three sectors. The Democrats, obvious. The Republicans, obvious to some degree. But also the independents, the people in the middle. And those the ones who may go for the Wilder effect.
Well, I think you're right. The Republicans during the primary were being strategic. People were voting for Trump because they were angry and they didn't like the other candidates at the particular time. But in the end, I wonder how many of them today wish another one won.
Well, we're going to find that out.
Some remorse. Right?
We're going to find that out if this guy becomes president of the United States. Mm.
Rosemary?
Well, I am concerned at the incredible level and intensity of the hatred for Hillary Clinton. I got into a fight with my uncle the other day. I got into a fight with a friend.
Is that the guy from Thanksgiving?
School. No, different guy. Different,
okay.
Different uncle. Have a lot of them.
We all have the uncle at Thanksgiving, don't we?
Yeah, he may be our president soon. And it's almost as if the level of the information about Clinton, as it intensifies and gets more and more troubling, people are completely turned off. We had a class yesterday and had a small discussion about it that turned ugly fast, and nobody was persuading the other ones. We are just ready to vote. It's time to vote and get it over with.
Yeah, I saw on one of the morning news shows a Harvard pollster saying that if people under 35 did not vote, Trump would win.
Well, by the way, David Gustina raised that with me on my morning commentary this morning, which was that the millennials are not voting. And they
better if they want to control the outcome in this election.
Right. Well, there are at least three of us in this room who have regularly met with our students, you know, and we can tell you a thing or two, which is they're not interested and they won't vote, and they are in many parts, many of them, not all of them, but many of them are just damn lazy. They don't want to get up in the morning and get out of their pajamas and say, well, how will I find a vote?
I think
how
that's a broad brush to use against the whole generation.
It is.
In fact, I think this generation has a lot of hope for us. They're frustrated by both choices, but they need to go out and make whatever they feel is the best choice. They need to go out and vote.
I have two comments on this, though. But one is, first of all, and I agree with Alan, although I add to the point that it also, I don't know that it sometimes has to do with laziness as much as we don't make it very easy either for students to vote who are away from their homes, who are not, if you are from Virginia or you figuring that out is tough. And on the things you have to do, if you can't even get them to get their paper in by Tuesday, how are you going to add that to the pile? So that goes to the laziness factor, certainly. But it isn't easy. It isn't easy. The other thing, too, is that And this dawned on me yesterday as I was having the discussion in my class that turned ugly very quickly, which was, I think for out of, I think 80% of the kids, this is the first time they'll be voting in a presidential election. First time. This is not a good example of what a presidential election is.
Really
Do
you remember who the first presidential
election? First presidential I voted for was George Michael Washington. Dukakis.
Michael Dukakis, 88.
Yeah.
How about you, Alan?
Well, if I'm 75, somebody else do the math.
JFK?
It'd be 18.
Oh, certainly JFK. Yeah, JFK.
I don't remember. JFK. I don't remember.
It was the Nixon McGovern was my first opportunity to vote.
Yeah.
And I was a very idealistic young college student, and I could not understand. I could not understand how Nixon could possibly beat McGovern.
There's the thing that I think it is. It's a part, this mixture of, you know, they don't even do their papers. Why are they going to get out to vote? We make it hard. Bernie didn't get it. That was the candidate that fired them up, as did Barack Obama. But also there's this ultimate, they are very negative Trump. They do not like Trump, but they just can't believe he's going to get in. It's like, oh, yeah, that'll be taken care of. They'll never put him in. There's some of that, a lot of that in my classes.
Well, their turnout will help define whether he does get in.
I was trying to make that point, too.
I don't think that's impressed on them. You know, your information at the beginning of this that people under 35 don't vote, he'll win. I don't think that has any impression on them at all.
By the way, a huge population, Hispanic population turnout in the early voting. And that's pretty good not for me, but although it is. That's pretty good for Hillary.
If the trend continues,
yes.
And maybe that's the whole point of this conversation. What will the trend be given the news?
So the Justice Department moved Monday to quell the outrage and frenetic speculation surrounding FBI Director James Comey's decision and disclosure, last week that the Bureau has resumed its investigation of Hillary Clinton's private email server after discovering a new trove of emails. The department signaled that it now wants the politically charged investigation to follow standard procedures, including a strict limit on official comments about the probe and the provision of updates to Congress through routine channels. So, in other words, keep it very insular and yet tell us everything you know, right? Is that sort of what they're saying?
It's really hard. You know, I do try to see both sides, but it's really hard to judge Comey's actions, the FBI's actions, as anything other than partisan. We make two extraordinary announcements. One, that Hillary Clinton is not going to be charged. There's no prosecutor in the country who would take on the case, and yet we have a half an hour worth of vilifying her as extremely careless, et cetera, et cetera. Then we have this second announcement from Friday that, oh, yeah, now we're looking at more emails, so don't give up worrying. She is distrustful. And now it's suddenly we're going to clamp down and be really quiet about everything else. So even if it's exculpatory, the procedure would be to not talk about it. And at the same time, it turns out that they are looking at Russian hacking into a Democratic National Headquarters and into John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign advisor.
And they haven't did a press conference on that.
They specifically
Well, he didn't
said,
do a press conference.
No, he didn't do it. Anything
he
about
it. He just sent
this.
A little letter to
well, there are
the
press
Republican
conference.
Leadership.
He didn't do anything about this. In fact, the FBI has followed procedure. So if you either follow procedure all the time or none of the time, they're doing it selectively.
And, by the way, I want to respond to Mike. There are press conferences and press conferences. There's the document and the leak, like the perp walk in front of the people, you know, somehow get the word out. Look, here's
what's the leak? I'm sorry, what's the leak?
Well, the leak is he sends a letter to Congress and it's immediately leaked.
Oh, all right. Well, right? Yeah, you know that's going
to.
Okay.
Well, that's right. And when my point is to both Mike and Rosemary is when he does that, he knows he's not a jerk. He knows what's going to happen, that it's going to get out there. And that's exactly what happened.
But we only have those three paragraphs to go by that we've been parsing a million different ways, right? We don't know any other information other than some scant reporting from
my point is he'd done it, and he knows exactly was going to be.
That's political when you do that.
Yes.
And the FBI is supposed to act. The rules used to be you don't even comment whether a subject is under investigation. You just do the investigation and indict if you got material.
And yesterday we talked at great length about the power of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And J. Edgar Hoover in the background, I'm glad that the New York Times caught up today and others. J. Edgar Hoover in the background has tremendous power, which got me to thinking. If you're a progressive, you drop the G, and thinking if you're any one of the rest of us. but it got me to thinking about the fact that the President of the United States has Josh Earnest go out there and announce that the president thinks he's a man, that Comey's a man of integrity. Now, that got me a little worried, to be honest with you, because these guys have tremendous power, always have, including, as we know from Hoover, over the president of the United States.
Are you suggesting that perhaps Comey has something on Barack Obama?
No. It's what we call in politics the law of anticipated reaction. It isn't that he knows he's got something. It's that there's a vague sense of uneasiness with all of this information and everything that the Federal Bureau of Investigation has. There could be something. So it would be prudent to sort of stay out. Now, he's still campaigning actively for Hillary Clinton and doing his thing, as is Michelle Obama. But I was concerned about sending Earnest out there to put that message out there.
Well, I think it would have looked a lot worse if he went out and attacked him in a
partisan
way.
Well, no, but what if he did nothing?
Well, I think it amounts to nothing. I mean, when you have an FBI director, you just say nice things about him. He did disagree. Ernst did disagree. I mean, you know, Josh Earnest did disagree with what Comey did. But, you know, I'm beginning to think, the more I read about this, Comey is a man of integrity to, you know, it can be argued, but he's also somebody who is a contrarian. He's the one that went to the hospital to the side of John Ashcroft, who had the attorney general had just had surgery before the Cheney folks got there, wanting him to sign an order allowing, you know, the U.S. to take use torture in Iraq. And he was the one that convinced the, you know, partly sedated attorney general to refuse.
Although they did it in the end anyway.
Well, they ended up doing it anyway. But they did it not with the approval of the attorney general of the United States. And that's important.
That's true. But the power of the federal police force here is something of great concern.
But the trend continues. I mean, he took enormous lashings from conservatives in Congress and others when he stood up last July and said that there really isn't a case here. I mean, what you did was irresponsible. And he spoke out. I mean, he's kind of a loose cannon. And here, he probably thinks it's the right thing to do. He doesn't want it to come out in December or in February that he had information 2 weeks before the election that he chose not to make public.
Well, but tough noogies.
There's the fault, though.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that is a flaw.
I think he likes to be in the center. I think he loved making that conference.
I think he thinks he's heroic by doing that.
Correct.
And he should be thinking of the country, not him.
Somebody told me that his wife told him not to do it. I got a thing this morning.
Oh, people in the FBI were urging him not to do it. And yet there's another story today that suggests there were conservatives in the Justice Department and the FBI who were ready to go public with it in spite of him and leak it out. And, you know, this was his way of sort of stemming that.
Wow.
You know, so who knows? But I think he was choosing his own image and his own integrity and his own image down the road rather than thinking of process and you know, what has been
his own organization, not just
his
country. FBI does not come out looking
he's
good.
He's acting as a loose cannon, I think.
Yeah. I would remind you all that this is a registered Republican who has given money to Republicans in the past.
That's of I some don't know what that means. This
well, I know what it
I
means.
I really don't know what it means.
I know what it means. I know what it means.
So let me add this to the equation real quick, which is the Clinton campaign took very quickly yesterday said this is a double standard. You are going after us. You want this information out, and yet you are not doing anything when it comes to the accused Russian hacking.
That's what I began by saying. Yeah, so, it's a double standard.
The double standard. So now, again, put this into a political situation. Is he right not to do that, meaning that he shouldn't have done either, or should he be doing? That's where
the inconsistency that is the problem.
Yes.
I could make an argument that, look, you know, we normally don't talk about investigations, but because of the high importance, public interest, we will talk about these investigations related to elections. Or he could say, we don't talk about it. That's our procedure. We're going to stick with it. The problem is that he's done both. He has revealed everything about Democratic that shows Democratic problems. He's kept secret everything involving Republican problems. That's just, on the face of it, unfair.
Well, I agree with you. I think that it's problematic to talk about a preliminary investigation into something that may or may not yield anything and may or may not be even directly related. These might be minor emails that Uma Abedin used her husband's laptop to check and then close the account, but it stays in the cache of the computer. We all know that you can't get rid of everything unless you scrub the drive. Even then, it's problematic. But it could have been serious, you know, confidential national security documents, but there's no suggestion on what it is. And now you're letting Trump say, oh, these are awful. These are the worst. Oh, you got to be sure these are awful. I mean, I saw him say that in one of his speeches.
Worse than Watergate.
Yeah. Worse than Watergate. Yeah.
And Comey opened that all up.
Yeah.
And did it without either foreseeing this, which is really stupid,
right,
or
lame.
Not caring, yeah. Yes. Or not caring, which
no,
in a way
I think
is
he was
worse.
Caring about his own image, and I think he made a big mistake.
I mean, even from Republican former FBI officials who have criticized Comey in this decision have said what he did was handed the narrative to Donald Trump.
Yep.
And said now he will define what is in those emails because what the director has given is so vague.
Right.
So yesterday we heard that the Justice Department was moving ahead and they were trying to get this done as fast as possible. Oh, but by the way, there's no way they're ever going to get it done by Election Day. So then, quite frankly, you know,
you make a very good point, all of you. If in fact Comey had a real smoking gun, a real smoking gun, and they had found the, you know, correspondence between on her server between Hillary and the sheik of whatever, Saudi Arabia.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah. And that would have been more problematic for the FBI director, whether he was going to go public with that or not. But no, this is just nuts.
No, it's not up to the FBI to go public on
it's
any
30
of
seconds.
This. Try to get information out of a local police force on any investigation. The FBI gets information, and if there is enough, you indict. That's the only
time
we
should be hearing
from them.
Well, you don't indict. The Justice Department indicts.
Yeah, that's the only time we should be hearing about them.
Well, I agree with you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back and continue our conversation. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain, we welcome your letters as well. We'll get to those as soon as we come back. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Once again, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain make up our panel this morning. Let's get to the letters. We have quite a few of them regarding this subject, and then we can talk about the latest New York Times report on what they're calling the Donald Trump tax dodge.
One of the things I'm not going to do, I just want you to know as I pick these out on the run, I am not going to read the cutesy letters, you know, the joke letters. You know, everybody's got a little joke here. But
even if there's a really good one?
Maybe if there's a really good one. But okay. Panel. Comey opens a can of worms. All of a sudden, no more attention to the Clinton Foundation. Perhaps Hillary doth protest too much. Yeah, well. Jump in, anybody, if you have anything to say about this. I just heard the funniest thing on the radio. Rosemary said she always tries to see both sides of things. You have to be kidding me. Rosemary is the biggest Clinton apologist I've ever heard. kind of deters
I'm not an apologist. I'm a promoter.
Hi, all. I get the issue
Damn
of...
Different.
Bob says, I get the issue of double standard, but suppose the FBI had reason to believe that a presidential candidate was a mole, a Manchurian candidate. Should that be brought to the voters' attention before an election or not?
Well, there's more possibility of Donald Trump being that mole than Hillary Clinton at this point. Did you see the thing now? The New York Times ran it. They have connected one of the hacks to a server owned by Donald Trump, a Russian hack. Come on.
Well, that's Manafort, too, right?
Manafort had it. I said that at the very beginning. We
covered everybody who Manafort is.
The former campaign manager who was replaced by Kellyanne Conway. Right. So
I knew him from working in Eastern Europe. We had covered his involvement with the Ukrainian elections.
Different countries, yeah.
Okay. And as soon as I came out, I said, oh, my gosh, that's the guy who just turned over everything. And
who Trump basically said, I don't even know.
Yeah.
He said that yesterday. I don't really know him.
Was my campaign manager.
He was my campaign manager and my closest confidant, but I don't know him. Okay.
Okay, so James says, James, college student from Troy, New York, should be pretty clear why people aren't enthusiastic about voting, especially young people. Every 4 years, we have to choose between two extremely wealthy Democratic Republican candidates, or we can vote for a third-party candidate who will definitely not win. Okay, we've heard it all. There are always going to be excuses from everybody about why they can't participate in decisions. Are you telling me, James, that there's no difference between the positions of a Donald Trump and a Hillary Clinton when it comes to things like health care, who goes to the Supreme Court? Are you kidding or what? All right. Sorry. Just an excuse. From Linda. Hi, Roundtable. Alan, why are you concerned about Obama's spokesman complimenting Comey? Did you know only Obama can fire Comey? I don't think he can. I don't think Obama can.
No,
it's a fixed term.
It's a set term. Yeah. I mean, it's protected from being so political that the president could fire you. Yeah.
If I were Hillary, I got in. And James Comey were there, boy, I would be on a campaign of revenge. I'm sorry.
Or just call
he
him in.
He would be cut off from anything of importance.
Or just call him in for a little discussion.
And what could you say to him? Well, he's got the power over you.
No, maybe not. Comey, I write as a strong Hillary supporter. Of course, President Obama believes in Comey's integrity as he appointed Comey. There are multiple sources saying the factions in the FBI were going to leak the story of the Wiener email cache, so Comey's hand was forced. Don't seem to be affecting the polls, though. Well, that's an interesting question, Joe. You're our expert on this. You have that magic device in front of you. What about the polls?
The magic device. Call the laptop.
I heard somebody this morning on some program, I think it was the Beeb, saying that the numbers were coming closer. And I know the New York Times is now showing in their column about what chances are that's going down too.
The Washington Post is just out with a poll saying they're virtually tied.
They're virtually tied,
and they have been closing. What's missing is information on why. Is this just
it was closing though before Comey's
right,
remarks,
or whether it's Comey? That's that's not been checked out.
The latest poll, I think it was the ABC poll, came that I saw this morning, had the numbers from a week ago virtually the same, and this poll that came out today was done half and half over the weekend with the knowledge of the emails.
And what is that showing?
It's exactly what it was last week.
No one's listening.
3 points. 3 points. Yeah. And yet there are still the polls that when you look at the overall, there are some polls that show it as much as 7 or 8 points. The collection of the polls.
I know what you mean. Just
the collection of all the polls together. Yeah. That is showing about a 6%.
Okay.
Margin.
Here's one from Linda saying fire. The New York Times reported it this morning. What fire? That he could fire the FBI director? I don't know. That's what Linda says. Fire. The New York Times reported it this morning. Well, okay. And John says, let's assume the hackers were Russian. If that is so, does the FBI even have jurisdiction? Doesn't either NSA or CIA have exclusive power over international criminal investigations like this? So what John is saying, who's JD MBA, what he is saying is that even if the FBI wanted to, they would be forbidden from talking about it. Nonsense. Okay, that's all I got to say. Hey guys, please stop talking over Rosemary this morning.
Oh my God, that's a change. I think I have that coming just in revenge. I'm the worst offender.
Well, I don't know that it's true.
Yeah, it is, but
Rosemary,
that's okay.
What have you got to say?
Nothing at the moment.
No, I think Rosemary talks a lot. Joan says, millennials, welcome to the real world. Grow up. Vote blue and fight with Bernie, Warren, Carter, Obama, and scores of admirable people to push Clinton in the progressive agenda she has promised. All right. Dear panel. And now that we're talking about Donna Brazile, I'm sure you want to talk about that show, right?
Yes, it's on our list.
Dear panel, has this issue already passed? Does it not question Hillary's honesty as a person? Best from Janos.
Hell no, it does not. It does not question the Hillary campaign. Every campaign gets as much information as possible, insider information. If you wish to blame someone, please make it CNN.
I agree with you.
I've been talking this entire campaign.
Yes, you have.
Just immoral, unethical, and wrong in every way to put political operatives and give them salaries and titles as political commentators or reporters or whatever we're going to call them. They are not. And Donna Brazile did a wonderful thing for her real constituency, which is the Democratic establishment candidate. She did a terrible thing to CNN, but her allegiance was never to CNN.
Well, CNN says they didn't give her anything.
You work at a place, Alan, and we all know this. If you work at a place, you get stuff you're not really intended to have because you talk to everybody. You're there. You see correspondence. She's a smart woman.
So you want to talk about double standards. So tell me how this doesn't come up. Because I thought CNN's statement yesterday was, and I don't have the exact wording in front of me, was unbelievable, especially as they have Corey Lewandowski on their staff.
Unbelievable.
I mean, selling Donna Brazile down the river.
She deserves it. Don't get me wrong.
No, I agree with you. She shouldn't have done what she did. But saying that we are protecting the authenticity of our news. Well, okay, you're hiring people who work within the campaigns who are on the payroll. Yeah. What do you expect?
There's an old saying in employment and religion and everything else, you cannot serve two masters at the same time. CNN set themselves up for that. They put political operatives in, and then they're shocked that these political operatives are feeding information and giving assistance to their old camps. That's crazy. And Donna Brazile is just totally wrong in this. She did an interview a week and a half ago with Megan Fox.
Megan Kelly.
Jeez, I keep saying that. On Fox, yeah. Right. And acted all pompous and I'm a religious person, don't attack me this way. And Megyn Kelly was asking the right questions. How could you do this? This isn't right. And it also didn't help Hillary Clinton, ultimately. It was not a question that was unthinkable that might be asked. She was probably prepared for it otherwise.
Sure.
So all she did was hurt her candidate and hurt her station.
The thing that came to mind to me was why is she in the room in the first place when these discussions are going on?
Good
if you
question.
Know that she's on the Clinton payroll.
We may not know that. That may not have been it. She may just have been friends with someone who was in the room. But that also is foreseeable. On the other hand, all right, is Hillary Clinton culpable? Come on. You're running for president of the United States, and you got someone set up at CNN who can feed you advance information. Are you going to say, no, I'll take the high moral road? Come on.
Well, and let's not forget that we're talking about Corey Lewandowski and Trump, but Paul Begala is still on that panel as well. So and very much.
So is Jeffrey Lord and Katrina Pearson.
Sure.
It's just packed on both sides.
They want to get people who are on the inside that can give insight. All of the cable news stations do it.
And let me also point out that we only have the hack of the Democratic side. We may well have had many people feeding questions to the Republican candidate. We just don't know about it.
Don't you think that's likely?
Of course I do.
Yeah. I mean, this kind of thing happens all the time. People talk. I mean, when you work in a news organization, the whole point is to get information out, not withhold it.
Absolutely.
Paul makes a very good point from Amherst. I love Amherst. Good morning. Read your discussion of Comey's actions regarding Clinton's emails. This is the second time that Comey has usurped the position and role reserved for the U.S. Attorney General, Patricia Lynch. It's an interesting point.
Loretta Lynch.
Not Loretta. Patricia.
No, they said Patricia
Loretta Lynch is the...
Loretta Lynch is the Attorney General. She was compromised by Bill Clinton.
No, you're right.
Talking to her. And she's taken a stand away from it attitude. And at the time, and I still say this, I think that Bill Clinton knew what he was doing, that Comey was dragging out the investigation, keeping Hillary under a cloud. And that was his effort to cause a stir that would force it out.
It seemed to work, but it
also may have fed Comey's... desire to get back in, to strike back in some way. And it has just put Loretta Lynch out of commission.
Can you explain or comment on Loretta Lynch meeting with Bill Clinton in the tarmac and how you just did that? Thank you very much.
I foresaw that. Yes. Someone fed me that question.
What you said,
okay, and Deb says, you are all following Trump's direction to look over there. The emails are speculation and innuendo at this point. Trump has over 70 lawsuits pending and criminal charges for fraud and rape. He won't release his tax return. Owns over 500 companies, posing extreme potential for conflict of interest. Please discuss these issues. We have
multiple times. And again, we're not listening. There is nothing that can come out about Hillary Clinton at this point that would make me vote for Trump because I'm a Hillary partisan.
If there was proof that Hillary Clinton was an alien from another planet.
Do you think that would interfere if that came out?
I mean, hard proof next week before the election.
No, yeah. I would still vote for her. And I say this because there are many on the Trump side who feel exactly the same way.
Right.
There's nothing that could come out about Trump right now that would make them change. I think we've just reached the point
of
saturation.
I think people are just ready to pop. This should have been one of those November 2nd election years, you know, where some years it's November 2nd, you know.
Okay,
it'll be over tomorrow.
So Andrea says, good morning. I'm a Hillary supporter, and I'm happy with Comey's choice. I'm convinced Hillary will win. The Electoral College and overall demographic trends are still overwhelmingly in her favor. I don't think so.
That's true.
The New York Times spin on it is that it's still an 88% chance when you look at where her strength is.
And even Nate Silver, the great statistician and predictor who has seen a closer race than the New York Times, but he's still overwhelmingly Hillary is going to win because of the Electoral College.
88% chance is what it's...
Good morning, all. Not voting. A lot of blood has been spilled for this right. Not voting, I'm sorry. A lot of blood has been spilled for this right. It's too precious to squander. Whether or not you like either candidate, it's important for politicians to know we are out here and wielding what little influence we may have. At this point, what would you do if you were Hillary? Well, I'll tell you what I would do. I would stop talking about these emails that much. I think it's a mistake. I think it's defensive. As Rosemary said earlier, that she's between a rock and a hard place on it. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. But I would stop. I think it gives too much import to it.
I would never use a cliche like between a rock and a hard
spot. No,
spot.
I did.
Okay.
So apologies. You would never use a cliche at all. Karina says, when my students express their apathy and disillusionment, I tell them I know about that since my first experience in voting consisted of me voting for Gore and getting Bush for 8 years. I then tell them I have never missed voting ever since I was of legal age to vote. No excuses. And Lisa says, from a millennial, please stop lumping all millennials together. The opinions of your 19-year-old students doesn't reflect the only view of our large and diverse generation. I'm a 30-year-old millennial, and I not only plan on voting, but I've voted in every presidential election since I was 18. I hate how people call my generation lazy based on their interaction with silly teenagers, when many millennials are hardworking young people trying to make the best out of a raw deal that they were handed.
Yeah, that's the problem with statistics, is that you are treated as a group. I hate all of the statistics that show that baby boomers caused the current problems, because I know that I did not and my sisters did not, and there's five people right there. But the truth is that the statistics, the overwhelming generalities, are that millennials don't vote and do well, have problems. Just, what are we talking
about?
Describing.
Yeah, but we're also talking. You're saying about millennials, but if we had talked about this of college age kids 20 years ago, we still would have said they would
absolutely.
Vote.
And some college age kid would have written us a letter.
Yes,
and said
I vote,
this
and I've been voting.
Vote,
right.
Even though everybody on all sides.
I mean, I understand. I understand because there is a negative. There's a negative connotation out there regarding millennials, and I understand the point of the letter. But just let's take a break. We'll be right back and continue our discussion.
Support for WMC comes from Clear Yoga and Rhinebeck, Iyengar yoga for various ages and abilities, classes daily, including restorative meditation and weekend workshops, helping to develop strength, flexibility, and peace of mind. ClearYogaRhinebeck.com. MPAC, presenting an evening of electronic dance with Jay Lynn and Curion, November 4th at 9 p.m., empac.rpi.edu. The Mount Holyoke College Art Museum, South Hadley, Massachusetts, with 140 Limited, an exhibition of recent acquisitions celebrating the museum's 140th anniversary, artmuseum.mountholyoke.edu. And Shakespeare & Company, Lenox, Massachusetts, presenting It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play, the classic holiday tale with live sound effects and rapid character changes, December 15th through 18th, shakespeare.org.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We were talking about Nate Silver a moment ago, and I just wanted to read from his 538 column this morning, which says, we've written about this before, but I wanted to call your attention to it again because the possibility of an Electoral College popular vote split keeps widening in our forecast. While there's an outside chance that such a split could benefit Clinton if she wins the exact set of states that form her firewall, it's far more likely to benefit Donald Trump, according to our forecast. Thus, as of early Monday evening, our polls-only model gave Hillary Clinton an 85% chance of winning the popular vote, but just a 75% chance of winning the Electoral College. There's roughly a 10% chance of Trump's winning the White House while losing the popular vote, in other words.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
No.
And we know it can happen. I just want to, I was severely criticized by Daisy this morning, who writes, stop it, Alan. Hello, panel. Please stop Alan from exaggerating. This is the natural setting of votes before election. David Plouffe is not worried, so I'm not either. Although I am still going to New Hampshire to work for Hillary this weekend. But my favorite line of the letter was, hello, panel, please stop Alan from exaggerating.
Oh, good luck with that.
So you guys have a some kind of gag?
We'd have to gag him, yeah. Sit on him, yeah. lock him in another room.
Yeah.
So what do you make of Nate Silver?
What do I make of Nate Silver?
That 10% of what I just said.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think he makes a lot of sense to me.
But wouldn't you take 75%?
I don't care if she wins by, what was it, 537
votes.
Yeah, right. I don't care how thin it is. I just do not want Donald Trump
saying,
in the White House.
But he's saying 75%. 75% is a lot of percent.
I think you probably talked about this yesterday, but one of the impacts of this news by Comey might be that some of the down ticket people may not benefit from Hillary Clinton perhaps winning. And, that might mean that the Senate will not go Democratic. And that pretty much would mean she wouldn't have a chance of getting anything through Congress with a Republican House and a Republican Senate.
Which, by the way, is my number one available thesis for why Comey did what he did. Because his Republican pals leaned on him because they were scared to death that exact thing that you just mentioned was going to happen.
And Chuck Schumer will be disappointed for sure.
Boy,
because our U.S. Senator from New York stands to become the Senate, the new Mitch McConnell, if he replace Mitch McConnell.
Boy, that Wendy Long is really no competition, is she?
No, she's behind, 40 points behind.
No, I don't think so.
Wow. I mean, again, it's
the debate was Sunday night.
Whew, yeah, I wasn't here, but I went back and looked and read it. And Boy, it's just a whole different league.
You know, she'd give that guy Assange, the WikiLeaks guy, immunity.
Yeah.
She'd like to see him granted immunity.
And immunity from what exactly?
I don't know. From the rape charges in Sweden?
In Sweden?
I don't know.
He's not an American and he's on charges in Sweden. So, like, how would that work? And I really sort of like, you may have gotten the idea to promote women candidates, but I got a lot of trouble with her. Yeah. So there, for those of you who say I only want Hillary because she's a woman, there you go.
All right, more letters. We have about 2 minutes before we go. 3 minutes.
Scott says, maybe a little off topic, but we have noticed that there are no Hillary Clinton signs in our area, no shortage of Trump signs, even on vacant lots that are peppered with campaign signs. There are several Democratic candidates, but not one Hillary sign in the bunch.
I can explain
why.
I know about this. There is one in my backyard, in my vacant lot, and I had to work to get it. I had to send away for it. The local committee did not have it, did not expect to get any signs, and that is because they don't need to put the resources in New York, they figure. They figure Hillary's got it. Signs on a lawn, just like attendance at a rally, does not equate to votes. And so, therefore, you'll find signs in other states, but not in New York.
Okay. And let's see. Eileen says, Hillary needs to stress her plans, her strategy as president. Lift us with her ideas. No talk about emails. She shouldn't even talk about Trump. She should just speak.
Idea. I think you just said that, Alan.
You did.
Yeah, I did. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. David says, the suggestion that Hillary has a space alien is a space alien feeds to the narrative that we should not only build a wall, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's difficult to use hyperbole here. Because
we have to
this
stop.
Is an election where everything is anything
we have to
goes.
Stop you from exaggerating. Yeah.
Betsy says, the FBI has now convinced me they are acting in a partisan manner as an arm of the GOP.
Yep.
Elizabeth Warren has a point. Has pointed out that they still not revealed their investigation concerning the 2008 financial scandal. Nor did they charge anyone, despite the fallout that occurred then. Why hasn't the FBI investigated and like that and
that,
more?
See, that's the harm that Comey has done to his own institution. They are up for that sort of view now. You can't help but think that.
Alan is almost right, says Jason. I believe Obama knows that something damning to Clinton is within these newly found emails, and that's why he chose a sort of language while referring to investigation and Comey.
Well, he is high in the Obama. President Obama is really high in the polls right now. His popularity is high, and I think he wants to go out of office being more diplomatic than partisan. That's why I think.
I mean, he only has 2 months to go. Like, he just has to get through that. Yeah. Yeah.
I think he can't do very much because he has been so vocal both for Clinton and anti-Trump.
Right.
He can't say anything.
Okay. We're not going to read that one because it's ridiculous. Any thoughts about the possibility that some third party dumped emails into Wiener's laptop to foment this controversy?
Again, the conspiracy theories get thicker and thicker.
They do.
I'll go with the Martian thing.
Oh, boy. For Joe on absentee ballot. Joe, I learned the hard way with a friend of mine running for county legislature last election by two folks. My absentee my absentee ballot did not count because I mailed it in on election day. So when telling people to get their papers and that they got, I don't know, you've been a victim of spell check or whatever.
All right.
Doing.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. A story in the New York Times released late yesterday. Donald Trump proudly acknowledges he did not pay a dime in federal income taxes for years on end. He insists he merely exploited tax loopholes legally available to any billionaire. Loopholes, he says, Hillary Clinton failed to close during her years in the United States Senate. Why didn't she ever try to change those laws so I couldn't use them, Mr.
Isn't
Trump asked during a campaign rally last month. But newly obtained documents show that in the early 90s, as he scrambled to stave off financial ruin, Mr. Trump avoided reporting hundreds of millions of dollars in taxable income by using a tax avoidance maneuver so legally dubious, his own lawyers advised him that the IRS would most likely declare it improper if he were audited. Thanks to this one maneuver, which was later outlawed by Congress, Mr. Trump potentially escaped paying tens of millions of dollars in federal personal income taxes. It is impossible to know for sure because Mr. Trump has declined to release his tax returns or even a summary of his returns, breaking a practice followed by every Republican and Democratic presidential candidate for more than four decades. So you'll get this report in the New York Times, and Donald Trump has already said there's nothing new here and again said that it shows how smart he is.
It was a lovely article, I want to say, first of all. It's a new example I'm going to use in how to write incredibly complex material in a way that people can understand. But I read through it all, and I basically think, you know, Donald Trump didn't do anything wrong. It makes me wonder where the IRS was. As you pointed out, even his own attorney said this is really shaky. It's right over the line, maybe, of what's allowable. And he went ahead with it anyway, which I can't blame him. He is a businessman. Profit was his first motive. So I can understand doing it, but why wasn't he caught and held to account? So he broke no law. In fact, Hillary Clinton and other senators, because one senator doesn't act alone, actually did close the loophole. So that criticism is incorrect. But the difference is Donald Trump can't talk about, I've done everything I can to help the country. He deliberately worked hard not to pay taxes that most of us pay willingly.
Well, Mitt Romney was accused of doing the same thing.
And I felt the same way that, you know, yes, he did get a big tax break, but that's the problem of our tax code.
Oh, pardon me, Alan. I don't mean to.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, when I want to talk, I just sort of try to inject it. But,
you go, it's like you're stuttering in my ear. Yes, I love it.
Whoa, that was great. I love it when you get that way. I'm sorry, Mike. I want to defer to you. Please.
Oh, well, I was going to say, this story talks about how Trump was able to maneuver debt that basically was other people's debts to claim it on his own tax return through some loopholes that were present. And in by doing that, he was able to escape, you know, tens of millions of dollars in taxes at a time when he might have just lost everything in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He was
in trouble.
But he was taking enormous risks and using other people's investors' money, and that money was going down the tubes, and he was able to claim it because it passed through him. You know, it's what businessmen do, and he survived it, and now he's able to be at least apparently rich.
Well, but to me, the chutzpah factor here is so great, which is, yes, it's a bad thing, basically, implicitly. This is a bad thing, and the real person is not the person who avoided paying the taxes.
Right.
It's Hillary because she didn't close the loophole. Yeah. Now, that, to me, is really egregious.
Well, I think it goes down to what we've been saying earlier. People don't care about this anymore. I mean, they've made their mind up, and he's not swaying anybody. And I don't know. This article is interesting. It's an interesting discussion about what your moral obligation is versus your legal obligation is when you're talking about arcane IRS rules. And I don't think it'll have any impact on the election. No one's going to read this story and say, darn it, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton now because of this.
Right.
You know, it's an interesting story.
What you should say is, please, let's reform the tax code. It's ridiculous.
Well,
either
person who wins, I think that should happen.
Exactly. Whoever should the tax code is requires an army of specialists to interpret a 10,000 pages worth of it. As the article said, there are lawyers who spend their entire career mastering those 10,000 pages. Crazy.
Well, Ted Cruz had a solution, you know. I mean, we would
just
file
just
a postcard, basically.
And also, you know, the IRS IRS has consistently, under the Obama administration, done a dreadful job. They first go targeting conservative groups, which then renders them unable to look at any group that has a special interest because they're so tainted. And now we find out, why aren't they looking at Donald Trump? Why hasn't there been action? He says he's been constantly audited. We don't really know. Hmm. Why did he get away with that? That's a lot of money. They audited me. How come I get audited and he doesn't?
I thought the investigation showed that Lois Lerner, who was the IRS
director.
Acting director or whatever, during that controversy a couple years ago, they were just auditing a variety of groups, including conservative groups.
It left the impression, though, that she was targeting specifically groups that were conservative rather than liberal. And the end result is that while all of them should be audited equally, now we're looking at none of them.
Well, are you saying that the IRS's reputation has been besmirched?
Merged.
it's part every. Look at the federal institutions that have been besmirched. We have the FBI we've been talking about all today, the IRS, the Supreme Court. What do we believe in anymore?
And I understand the State Department has some problems with communications.
One or two problems, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to read some interesting email very quickly that has been sent to me, one by Roselle, and that is that my favorite author of a popular song, which is You Can Have Your Kate and Edith Too, has died. His obituary is in today's New York Times. Just thought I might mention that.
Might you tell us his name?
If I had it, I would.
I'll never forget what's his name.
Kind of burying the lead there, right?
I would certainly tell you if I had it. And I'm looking for
you
it.
You can't have your cake and eat it too, Alan. Come on.
Your Kate and Edith,
oh,
too.
Kate.
It's the Statler Brothers, one of my favorite songs. And by the way, Rosemary, of interest to you and to Mike, of course, is that the Gannett people have dropped their bid to buy trunk, to buy the
trunk.
You guys,
it's the old Tribune media company.
Yeah, well, which is interesting that
chose
wasn't
the worst name
that wasn't going too
choose.
Far. In the meantime, they've done terrible damage in collapsing some of their newspapers, their best newspapers. The Poughkeepsie Journal was a great newspaper. It won prize after prize after prize at all, as we know, along with the Times Union and Poughkeepsie Journal.
Oh no, I regret to say that Stu Shinsky, as editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal, would need a cart every time we went to one of these awards dinners to carry out the plaques that were bestowed on his staff.
Exactly. So they're going to do.
Gannett has from the beginning of the constriction of.
By the way, it was
news.
Curly Putman.
Okay. Curly Putman. Good for you,
Putman.
Joe.
How old was Curly?
Curly was
Kate and Edith too.
Also wrote The Green Green Grass of Home.
Oh.
Yeah, another
That's a great song.
Okay,
yeah.
you've interrupted my rant.
I'm sorry,
Gannett.
But we were okay, go ahead.
I'd like to hear a rant on Gannett.
Thank you,
Gannett
though.
Is
thank
responsible.
You, Joe. I want to thank
I'm just
you, Joe.
I want to help.
They didn't
I want to thank
this.
You, Joe, for having
I think Gannett
okay.
is
he
responsible
was
for the collapse of print journalism.
Gannett is responsible
yes, it was,
for the
it was their director when they started USA Today that decided that newspapers had to produce a profit in the 25% range quarter after quarter. Until that time, newspapers had made tons of money in rich times and then had been allowed to fall back when there were times of restriction or economic recession. And then Gannett comes over, takes over USA Today, and produced profit every quarter. And that's what led to unrealistic belief.
And the way they did that.
That's what did in newspapers.
When they didn't, you know, when they weren't bringing in the revenues to produce those profits, they just slashed expenses. And over
and that
time,
meant
that
reporters and expertise and all the things that make you want to buy a newspaper in the first place.
Well, yes, but frankly, here's my problem with it. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Gannett, in order to buy all these other newspapers for $800 million, what do they do? They start to say, okay, we need that money. So now what we're going to do is we're going to start slashing, as Rosemary says, all of the good papers that are out there doing all this good work, and we're going to start firing people, and we're going to do this and that. That's terrible.
Yeah, in Eastern Europe, it's called privatization. You take over a company and then sell away the equipment. You fire off the expensive, talented people, and you make tons of money, and you leave the company bereft. That's what Gannett has done to newspapers in this country.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Well, a lot of newspaper companies.
I will not
have
be
cut.
Seeking. I will.
They're
because,
not the only one.
Because,
and there's some others that have cut more
that's,
severely.
Okay, you're trying to be fair, and you should not. Because what's Gannett?
Stop right
it.
There.
Stop it, Mike. Stop yeah. being fair.
That's
We've
right.
had enough of you. We're going to turn
a
this car right around.
A lot of businesses have cut
home.
Expenses and
Listen,
cut into the product.
I can defend
Look
this.
At airlines. Want to talk about airlines?
No, I want to talk about newspapers. And once Gannett showed that you could make 25% every year, despite what was happening economically, other newspapers. Papers had to live up to the new Wall Street standards and could not. And that's why you found the Hearst and the Knight Ridders doing the same thing and killing off great newspapers.
Will other
and
Republican
yes, Gannett
candidates
is responsible.
Will other Republican candidates have to live up to the same standards of Donald Trump? Given that logic?
The Republican Party and our electoral system as a whole will be forever affected, I would say scarred by what's happened this year. Yes.
So this would be an extrapolation of that in the sense that you
Yes.
Basically, the old adage, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Well,
again, I would never use a cliche like that, but okay.
Yeah, but
it's a very difficult thing, actually.
I mean, I can think of if a certain candidate wins, I could certainly understand what you about not putting that toothpaste back in that. I mean, because if, you know, if it's true that he's going to lead us down a path that is fascistic, for example, you'll never be able to put that toothpaste back in that. Because that's where democracy fails.
Well, that's if he wins. But even if he loses, we don't trust the press anymore. Look at our reliability figures now in the public. Horrible. You're not going to trust the political establishment. We don't trust primaries. We don't trust debates. Everything will be changed. You don't have to put out your tax reforms, your tax papers anymore. Many of the beliefs and practices of our system for the past 50 years have been altered. And I would say forever by this election.
Do you think, though, we have seen many candidates who can't get away with that? Do you think that it is a personality thing? I mean, in the sense that 4 years from now, will you be a candidate who tries many of the same things, who is unable to get away with what Donald Trump has been able to get away with?
My fear is that you're going to have somebody who's more competent than Donald Trump, who, for example, say, reads, who will use his methods and succeed. Mike Pence comes to mind.
Yeah.
And he's now been foisted off. A failed Indiana politician has now become a national figure, and that's Donald Trump, and he's not the only one.
All right, we have about 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Do you want to take some, do some letters and
well, I didn't
wrap this up?
I've been looking for one, Joe. And
Okay. I have another topic if you want to get to that.
No, I've been looking for one. No. There's plenty of letters. But I was looking for one which said that they didn't like the fact that we read listeners' email, that they would rather have a place for that, you know, on our webpage or something like that. And I have always thought of this as an interactive program. And it's very important that we read what people are thinking out there. That's the beauty of the program. So that's where I am.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to a point Rosemary, if I may, was making. And that is, there were people prior to Comey's announcement last week hoping that Hillary Clinton would win with like more than 400 electoral votes.
Right.
And that would perhaps make the opposite effect and basically repudiate the Trump approach
and
clear the way for the Republican Party to have a resurgence and not be limited by the Tea Party and the ultra-right, which has somehow grabbed control of it. And that may be one of the sad results of Comey's interference with the,
Good
this
point.
Election.
We're out of time. I want to thank everybody for being part of the conversation, for all of you who wrote in. And if we did or did not get to your letters, thank you very much. Thanks to Alan and Rosemary and Mike. And we'll be back tomorrow and more show after this.